Good Shabbos, everyone. Shabbat Shalom. I've always joked that this week's parsha is a rabbi's nightmare in this day and age when we seek to make Torah relevant, because it's about obscure topics like leprosy, boils, and scabs. One of my teachers tried to make the parsha relevant by suggesting an analogy to cancer, which is intriguing, but cancer is a heavy topic which resists such simplification in Dvar Torah. The common approach is to focus on the traditional idea that leprosy is a punishment for Lashon Hara, as the Gemara tells us in Masechet Erechin, Daf Tet Zayin Amud Aleph. Indeed, recently there was a rabbi who survived COVID-19 and subsequently commented that his quarantine brought to mind the isolation required of someone with Tzara'at who must undergo the ritual leprosy procedures. His take on the pandemic, therefore, was that it's a message to all of us from God that we should work on eliminating Lashon Hara from our speaking habits. Of course, I have no way of knowing for certain if he's right or wrong. I've heard similar reasoning numerous times applied to other mitzvot or transgressions as the cure-all to our problems. However, I can say that I don't feel comfortable with that approach because it focuses exclusively on one sin or one mitzvah with the prescription that everyone do just this one thing and poof, Mashiach will come. Maybe it's the cynic in me, but I don't know that these goals are very realistic or if it makes sense to attribute everything to one issue or if we even agree on what that one issue is. Another serious problem with focusing on Lashon Hara is that it is almost a non-starter, because I don't think we even share a clear definition of this term. In my opinion, Lashon Hara is commonly misinterpreted to mean evil speech. In other words, saying bad things about other people. But as I always explain, Lashon Hara has a much more profound meaning. It refers to the language of evil. In other words, using speech to manipulate for selfish reasons. Consider the dangerous position we'll be in if we rely on eliminating one particular sin from our lives, but we don't truly understand what it entails, so we get it wrong. In my humble opinion, we can find a more holistic and realistic approach by looking at Rambam's Hilchot Tshuva, because the Rambam understands Tshuva to be the bottom line of life in this world. In the seventh chapter of Hilchot Tshuva, the Rambam declares that Kama Mu'ule Ma'alat HaTshuva. Tshuva is fantastic. Why? Emesh hayazem uvdam Hashem Elohei Israel, shneamar avonotechem hayu mavdilim beinechem levein Eloheichem. Previously, a person who committed transgressions was separate from God. As Yeshayahu HaNavi said, your sins create a division between you and God. He goes on to say that this person's prayers are not answered, and their mitzvot are not accepted or desired. Then Hayom, today, as about Shuva one day later, the same person davens and Hashem answers immediately. He does a mitzvah and God loves it and desires more from him. The Rambam seems to be saying that we can see a turnaround in just one day. That's what we can achieve with tshuva. It's perplexing to me that so many of us live our lives without making our best efforts to understand this incredibly precious remedy. In my humble opinion, we should take tshuva very seriously, particularly at a time like this. We should seize the opportunity that comes during a period of crisis like the COVID pandemic. We need this kind of inspiration to evoke the kind of intense focus we typically save for Yom Kippur. As I've explained earlier, many people think the kind of change needed for tshuva can only occur through our actions, which of course take place over time, a long time. Yirmiyahu HaNavi says, "Avonotechem hayu mavdilin." Our transgressions cause a division from our connection to God. Not only is the process of changing our behavior lengthy, it's also unlikely that we can completely eliminate our transgressions no matter how hard we try. What can we do then about this separation from God? Also, as we're all painfully aware, there is no physical shul available to us in the midst of this crisis, and we cannot congregate. Nothing about our spiritual life is normal anymore. To me, it seems that God is clearly rejecting our prayers and our mitzvot. I don't think it would be a stretch to suggest that perhaps our inevitable transgressions have created a division between us and God. Even so, the Pasuk in Devarim, Perek Lamed, Pasuk Yedala teaches us, Ki karav eilecha hadavar ma'od. Tshuva is very close to each of us. It takes only a split second. It requires only that you declare, I want to be a different person, a person who cares about what God wants. That's really what we express when we beat our chests on Yom Kippur. We're not expressing remorse for sins we personally committed. We're declaring that overall, as a people and as individuals, we care about God, and we're telling God that if He will communicate with us, we're truly willing to listen. I think our tradition teaches us that this is what God wants to hear now, while we're in exile in such a bad place. Rav Noach Weinberg of blessed memory used to offer a wise analogy. Imagine a child who says to his parent, Mom, Dad, I decided I want to make you happy and proud of me. Please give me advice for my life so I can apply it and be successful. Can you imagine the parents would respond in anger? Of course not. They would be thrilled and flabbergasted. He used to say, that's the message we should convey to God. I want to listen. I want to change. Please help me understand what you want me to do. I think that prayer is beautiful, honest, and sincere, and it captures the essence of tshuva. It is a prayer that can eliminate the barriers between us and God, no matter our current spiritual condition. It only takes a few seconds, but it is very powerful. Last week's parsha spoke about which animals are kosher for consumption. This week's parsha begins with childbirth. The Medrash refers to last week's parsha as Torah HaBehema, the Torah of animals, and it calls the beginning of this week's parsha Torah HaAdam, the Torah of humans. The Midrash explains that there are two ways to interpret the sequence of these sections. One interpretation is that the whole world was created for humans, so God first set everything up for our benefit. The other possibility is that we are last because we are the least important. Even a mosquito was created before us and ranks higher. But what is the point of telling us these two possibilities? I think the Midrash is saying that we must have the humility to acknowledge that we sometimes make mistakes in life, mistakes which create serious spiritual roadblocks between us and God, mistakes which make us, in a metaphysical sense, smaller than a mosquito. But if we can acknowledge these failings and have the humility to approach God with sincerity, we can be confident He will welcome our prayers and let us know that the world was created for us to be healthy, happy, and successful. Shabbat Shalom.